Hello, listeners, and welcome. 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld London, an actual play RPG podcast that uses the 7th edition Call of Cthulhu system. We weave macabre Gaslight-era tales of terror and suspense for your listening enjoyment. Our games are story-driven and rules-light. Now, our keeper for Otherworld London, Wes Otis.
Let's jump right in. First, let's introduce our one player for this game.
Hello, my name is Michelle Otis, and I play Eugenia Penbottom of the Lancashire Penbottoms.
What's important to remember about this episode, this is going on at the exact same time as the other one-on-one games. So there is an episode with Ethel, Alizé, and Maggie. And all of the games are happening the same day at the same time. It's just all of our players are separated and doing different things.
Yes, we dared to split the party.
Yeah, you guys dare to split the party all the time. So at the last episode that all of you were together, which was episode 8, you went over to check in with Ethel, and she seemed kind of strange, like, you know, more down and dour than she usually is. And she ended up kind of saying, you know, hey, I can't see you right now. So you left and you went over to Alizé's, and you found Alizé downstairs on the floor in her shop, and she was covered in all these runes drawn out in blood that had been written on her body. And you then helped her upstairs and washed off all the runes without...
Well, of course, dear. Who would like to be covered in blood?
Yes. Yeah, so that is where we're basically picking it up. You're leaving Alizé's. You've put her to bed, even though it's mid-morning. And you head back over to your house. The day is in full swing there. You have all your different house servants doing whatever their jobs are. Your husband isn't there. He's out probably dealing with some sort of business deals. And he's got to mend some fences. In episode 7, he hauled off and punched Mabel's
husband, Lord Tillis.
Lord Tillis. And so now he's got to kind of deal with that. So he's gone for the day. When you go upstairs, because you're checking in on each of the rooms to make sure they're being cleaned to the proper standard, you notice Godfrey staring out the window, not really doing anything.
Godfrey?
He slowly turns around towards you, kind of in a jerky motion, like not fluid like a normal person would be. His eyes are colored this pale blue with no pupils at all. He opens his mouth as if he's going to speak, and you see this light shining out of the back of his throat, and the sound that issues forward from it is this strange ghostly tone, and it says, Eugenia. This is Rose. Can you hear me?
Why, yes, I do, Rose.
Now, this would be probably kind of shocking, so let's do a sand check.
My sand is a 62 right now, and I rolled a 43.
All right.
I'm sane.
I'm speaking to you from your butler. I didn't know how else to talk.
That's quite all right, Rose. He's here to be hospitable.
I don't have much time. I'm trapped, and I need your help.
What can I do, dear?
You must find a way to free my husband. He's got to be tethered here. He won't let go towards the light, and I'm not able to go towards the light as long as he's holding me back here.
Well, what will release him?
He feels that it was not an accident that killed him, but a murder.
Oh, No.
I tried to talk with you and the rest through Ethel, but she has so many spirits around her, it's difficult to get through. Since you don't have as many, it was a bit easier to get through to you. I need you to find something. Find out if my husband was murdered or not. Help me.
I'll do my best.
Thank you. And as she says thank you, Godfrey's eyes turn normal again, and he stumbles forward onto the ground. Dear Lord, what was that?
Are you all right?
Oh, my head. All I remember was putting away the master's clothes, and then all of a sudden I was overcome by some force, and then all of a sudden I'm standing here, or at least laying here. He gets up. Sorry, madam, I don't know what came over me.
Well, do you need some time to sit down?
Maybe, madam, but there's so much to do. I will,
But there's always time for a cup of tea, Godfrey.
Oh, okay.
I'll have Mrs. Fitch bring you something.
That's oddly nice of you.
What do you want to do?
Well, I guess, I guess I would start with where he worked. Talking to maybe people he worked with.
Okay. All right, so you go to the mill yard, which it's in everything's industrial, but it's in, you know, towards the Thames. It's on the way to the East End, which, you know, but you go and you have a driver and you take your cart down there. And the guy at the front door is like, oh, hello, mom. What are you doing here? Lady, who are you?
I'm Eugenia Penbottom of the Lancashire Penbottoms.
I was
coming to visit because I just had a few questions.
Oh, I know your family. Your husband does a lot of work with us.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what kind of questions do you have?
Well, I'm sure you've heard recently of the passing of Mrs. Rose Byrne.
Yes, I knew her husband. He was a good worker, and tragic for both of them, the way that it went.
Well, I know it might be very difficult to recall, but can you tell me a little more about the circumstances in which he died?
Well...
I don't need gory details, mind you, but I understand there was some sort of malfunction?
There was no malfunction, ma'am. He tripped while walking towards the saw and fell onto the blade.
Oh my.
That's as much as I like to tell a lady about such horrible things.
I understand. And I do thank you for your candor. What did he trip over?
What would?
Well, I would think that in a place where the saw is so out in the open that one would keep their workstation, especially the floor, free of obstacles.
I don't know what he tripped on. Let me get the foreman for you. He'll be able to help you out a little bit more.
Thank you.
Okay. So he kind of scurries off. So a few minutes later, John Horthen comes up. He's the foreman, the main manager. And he goes, Mrs. Penbottom, I work with your husband quite often.
Yes, I know. I'm delighted to make your acquaintance.
Are you looking for him? He was here a few hours ago.
No, I'm actually, I just have an inquiry.
About what?
Well, you remember Mr. Byrne, who used to work here.
Yes, it was tragic as... You're asking about how he passed.
Well, I do know some of the details. I was told that he tripped.
He did.
What did he trip over?
To be honest, ma'am, we don't know what he tripped over. It was the most curious thing. He was doing his normal work. It's a very large saw, and he was walking towards it. He tripped forward. He went into the front of the blade. It's all quite grisly.
Right, I don't need the grisly part. However, I'm just wondering how an experienced sawyer could have been so clumsy around the blade.
Sometimes, accidents just happen, no matter how experienced they were. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, may I ask, were there any unusual circumstances that day? Visitors who don't normally come to the factory, or just something strange, something out of the ordinary?
No.
Very well, then. His death didn't strike you as odd?
Nope.
Does this happen often?
Well, I mean, before he went, we had a good run, you know?
Yes.
But it happens from time to time, unfortunately.
Very well. Well, then I'll leave you to it.
Give me an idea roll.
Okay, my idea is 65.
All right.
And I rolled a 19.
Well, you know, he seems like he's...
Evasive?
Pretty evasive.
Okay.
And you could ask to see where it all went down.
Okay. Might I have a tour? I've never been inside a mill yard.
Lady Pinbottom, I'm very sorry, but this is a place of work, and it's not a tourist kind of thing.
Well, at least may I see the site where it happened.
That would be quite unusual, madam.
I know.
Okay.
I'm all right with unusual.
All right, then. Come with me. And he takes you back. And it's pretty loud. And he takes you to the saw where it happened. And it's not being used. It's there. The blade is covered with dust because it's been a few months. He goes, oh, here it is. He landed right there. I mean, we cleaned up most of the blood. And you can see the blood in the wood on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's hard to get out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So is it not functioning any longer?
Well, madam, we felt that it would be best not to use it for a while, out of respect for the dead.
Yes, I understand. But it's been quite a while. Have you not thought about replacing it?
It's very expensive to replace such a large saw. We just have to get it refurbished, I guess would be the word. I'm not sure.
Oh, quite right. Now, do I see where he might have tripped? Do I see... Is there
Everything.
A gate around it that...
Do a spot hidden for me. And yes, there is a gate.
Okay, my spot hidden is 50. And I rolled a 17.
Wow.
My dice are on fire.
So you're looking around it, and this guy's like nervously kind of watching you. And you notice there's underneath the dust, there's, you think you see something. Because, you know, dust piles on top, but sometimes you can kind of see through it a little bit.
I just kind of walk over with, you know, and go, oh, what's this over here? And I blow on the dust.
Madam, wait, don't get close to it. And when you blow on the dust, a small section comes clean, or as clean as it would. And you see what looks to be writing on the blade.
And what does it say?
It's like runes and looks like some kind of strange. You've seen writing like this in spiritualism text before. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to read it.
Okay. Do I have like a pencil or something in my little bag or?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Okay. I take out a little pencil and I probably have like my calling cards in there. So of course I have calling cards. And I write what they are on the back of the calling card, what I can see.
Yeah, because the blade is roughly a meter. It's only a little portion. Do you wipe off more?
I don't want to wipe off the runes, but I blow like as much dust off as I can.
Madam, I feel this is highly inappropriate, and you keep like cleaning off parts of it. And the more that you clean off, you notice that it's this giant, basically, pentagram that's on the entire blade.
Ooh.
And with all these markings and stuff in it.
Okay, I draw it as best I can on, you know, little cards.
Right.
And I look at him and I say, you don't think this is unusual? Especially, didn't you think I would notice there's a gate round the saw? How could he trip and fall over the gate? Mm. Sir.
Yes.
I have two sons. Mm. Both of whom would try to get away with lying to their mother. And, sir.
Yes.
I am seeing you avoiding my gaze, which tells me you are not being entirely truthful.
Madam.
Sir.
We cannot afford the scandal that this will bring to our establishment.
Well, I'll be discreet.
You have been in the papers, and I'm just a little worried about us ending up in the papers.
This is a personal mission.
Personal mission on what? He died. There's nothing that can bring him back at this point.
He died with some sort of strangeness round it all.
Yes. Ooh.
So, let me start by asking, who put the marks on the blade?
I don't know who put the marks on the blade. I was given money to leave the door open. I was told not to tell anyone about the markings on the saw.
And who gave you the money?
I never saw them. I got a note that said that I would get a certain amount of money if I left the door open and if I left the saw alone. I thought they were just going to steal some things and then I would report it.
Right. Do you still have the note?
After he died, I got rid of it.
Understandable. Well, you're right to keep it covered up. And you're right to never use this again.
I don't know if there's really much more you can get out of him.
Okay.
You don't get the sense that he has anything to do with a magical, you know, pentagram on a blade.
How much money was it?
It was 700 pounds.
Dear Lord!
Yes, it was quite a bit.
To say the least. That's a fortune.
I did pay for his burial out of respect, because I didn't know what was going to happen to him.
Out of respect? You mean out of the pocket change from 700 pounds?
Yes, ma'am.
And you didn't think it was unusual to be receiving such a large amount?
No, ma'am.
Well, then, I say good day to you, sir.
Good day. Okay, so this brings up, obviously, a lot of questions. Where do you think you'd go next?
So she'll probably want to go to Ida's, because she knows Ida's husband has a pretty extensive library.
Okay, so just to remind everybody, Ida is part of the society, but is not one of Mabel's, like, cronies. She is part of the society mainly because she wants to be social. She wants to kind of hobnob with the upper crust. Yeah, she's upper crust herself. So you head over there, and she comes down. This is shocking to see you here after the way that Mabel treated you the other night.
Well, my dear, I do know that you are not Mabel. That this is something she undertook of her own accord.
How can I help you?
Well, I was wondering if I might ask a small favor. Your husband has an extensive library, and I was wondering if I might make use of it.
Yes, come in, of course. And so she brings you in to his study, and there are, you know, several books. She goes, is there anything I can help you find?
Well, I was wondering where he might have his books on the occult and on spiritualism.
All of his books are more on the history of, like, Jewish magic. All of my books would probably be better because, you know, I study more of the spiritualism. He studies a lot of the Jewish mysticism as academic,
of course,
kind of thing. Let me show you what I have. And she takes you to her drawing room where she has a shelf full of books. And she goes, what are you looking for in particular?
Well, I found some strange symbols written round, and
where?
I'd care not to say at this time.
Okay.
But I found some strange symbols, and I just wanted to look up their meaning.
She goes, that's odd. I've seen these before.
Oh, you have?
Yes. Kate was practicing drawing them, saying that Mabel would need them for something in one of our seances. She kept drawing the circle and painting each one, said it had to be perfect to be able to draw a ghost in. I asked her, where on earth would you put such a thing? And she said, well, I believe we're going to have it engraved into the table, since it's circular. Though a pentagram does feel awfully, I don't know,
demonic.
Yeah, I mean, that's more of a Christian thing, but yes. Demonic. I don't know if I believe in those things, but of course I don't really feel like dabbling in something just in case I'm wrong.
Yes. Now, might I ask, the pentagram that she was drawing, mm-hmm. was it with the point up or the point down?
It was with the point down, I believe.
Well, that does make a difference, doesn't it?
Yes, but as I said, I don't know. Well, let me look in the book. And she pulls out a couple of books. Okay. And she pulls out this occult book and opens it up and flicks through a few pages. So the closest thing that I have in my books are right here. This one, as you can see, is pointing down. And according to this, it is used as some kind of gate to another world. It's vague, though. It talks about contacting spirits. But I don't know if it was meant for seances.
Yes, that is very strange. But it's without the runes, correct, that I'm seeing here?
There are runes, but there's not as many, and they're a bit different.
Do you have any books on runes?
I have, yes, let me look. And she starts looking through some of her rune books. Fortunately, I can't find anything. You didn't hear this from me, of course, darling.
Of course.
But maybe you should talk to Plum. She's a young girl, and you might be able to, even though she's been told to avoid you, you might be able to persuade her otherwise.
Very well. I thank you for your help.
Of course. I will see you around town. Maybe we'll have tea at some point.
That would be lovely. Thank you so much for your help.
No problem.
I don't think it would be proper for her to just drop in on Kate. So I'm going to invite her to tea.
So you send somebody over?
Yeah, I send someone over to invite her to tea because that's probably something she wouldn't refuse.
So you do that, and she shows up. Thank you for inviting me over. And she's got this long black hair, mm-hmm. kind of curly, and this very nice dress. And she goes, unfortunately, I won't be able to stay long, but I appreciate your invite for tea.
Well, as long as you can stay for a bit, please do sit down.
She sits down.
So how have you been?
Oh, I've been well. We're still planning to go to New York soon. I'm very excited.
Oh, and what shall you do there?
I'm not sure. I'm sure we will see some shows or something. I don't know what the Americans do for leisure, but, you know, it should be fine.
Oh, well, it does sound like an enjoyable adventure.
Yes. And you know, she's drinking her tea relatively quickly.
Kate, I have a question.
Yes.
Well, I came across such a strange thing, and I was wondering if you know anything about it. I came across these symbols. I thought that maybe because of your interest in the society, you might know something about them.
Where are you, by the way?
We're at my house.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. What room?
Probably the parlor.
Okay. The drawing room that you're always in, or,
yeah.
or the parlor?
The,
are they the same thing?
We'll do the drawing room.
Okay. And you've closed the doors,
yes.
right? Okay. And she goes, what symbols are you speaking of?
And I just kind of sketch out something in front of her, because I'm not going to show her what I, you know, copied, but I sketch out.
No, I've never seen these before. Where did you see them?
Well, that's sort of a private matter, but I have seen them, and it was under some strange circumstances.
Well, it's very difficult for me to help you out unless I know more information about them.
Well, I was told that you were practicing them quite a lot.
What do you mean?
You were practicing drawing them.
She kind of looks a bit nervous for a second. I don't see how my sketching, any sort of drawing, is anyone's concern, Miss Pinbottom.
Well, I was just curious as to the meaning of them. Why would you be sketching them? I mean, I'm sure it had something to do with the society.
She pours herself some more tea. Well, we were thinking about doing some sort of engraving into the table to make it easier for the ghost to be able to talk with us back and forth. And unfortunately, we just have never gotten, with all the scandal going around, we've never had time to do it.
Oh, yes, yes. I see. Some would say that I saw.
You saw?
What? I saw.
Well, we never made the table, ma'am.
No, no, you didn't. Now, how do they cut tables?
Well,
it has something to do with a saw, doesn't it?
What does that have to do with anything? Oh, crap. You see what I rolled?
No.
100. What does a saw have to do with anything?
Oh, okay. You're so terrible at trying to hide things.
I don't think I like to be here any longer. Thank you for your tea.
Kate?
Yes?
Why did you put these things on a saw?
I don't know which saw you're speaking of. I never put anything on a saw.
Oh, really?
Really?
Kate.
What? I grow tired of this.
I think you know where I saw these runes.
There's that word, saw, again. Are you saying that you saw these runes in... I don't know. And she kind of looks towards the door and looks back at you. Maybe you saw these at Rose's husband's work. And she starts to cross the room towards you.
And
maybe you should have just let well enough alone. And she produces a long dagger that's very thin and sharp with a jeweled handle on it.
I grab the teapot and throw it in her face.
Okay, do you have throw?
Just the standard 20%.
Go for it.
No, I miss.
Okay, do you want to try to push it or no? It's a tough one.
That's... is a tough one. Yeah, I'm going to try and push it.
Okay.
Well, maybe not. I don't know.
It's up to you.
Actually, I'm going to allow it to miss and I'm going to yell, Godfrey!
Okay. She starts running towards you with a knife.
Okay.
And she tries to stab you. And I got a 3.
Ooh.
Yeah. So she stabs you in the stomach, and the door swings open, and it's got... He goes, dear Lord, what's going on here?
Call the police! Call the police!
She pulls the blade out of you, and he turns around and starts to run, and she runs after him. And you're watching as you're holding your stomach, and blood starts to come out. And she stabs him in the back, and he goes...
Quick little thing, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. And Godfrey's not very fast. I mean, you know, he yells out, Mrs. Fitch, get the police! And Miss Plum kind of looks around quickly and dashes out the door. You sit, and in front of you slowly appears the woman in white. And she just kind of hovers there. She stares at you for a moment. As blood seeps from the wound in your stomach, the lady in white puts her hands next to your head. And suddenly, the world shakes and tilts and dissolves. And you find yourself floating above the city. The smell of burning buildings, the screams of humans as they run away from feral wolves. Through the streets, the antler god hunts, taking down any human he finds. His wolves are his weapon. Their howls send shivers through your body. You can feel their hunger. You look down, and the streets are slicked with blood.
There's only a few humans left. That's when you notice that the lady in white is next to you. She points at the destruction. And though she doesn't seem to be able to speak, her expression tells you she is not your enemy. She is here to warn you of a future that could be. Then suddenly, you start falling out of the sky towards a burning building. Right before you hit the ground, you wake up from the vision. And then she starts to fade out again. Make a sand check for me.
Oh, no.
Okay.
90 over my 62.
Make an intelligence check.
Oh, I want to roll high. Oh, now I roll low. 37.
So you start hysterically screaming. And Mrs. Fitch finally comes up and she calms you down. And they come in and they start patching up Godfrey. And after a little bit, Jack Wilcox shows up and he comes in and they're going to take Godfrey to the hospital and they're going to take you to the hospital. Your husband has not shown up yet. He goes, I got some of the details on my way over. What happened? I mean, I know someone accosted you and stabbed your butler. Who was it?
Her name is Miss Kate Plum.
Okay, so one of the society ladies.
Yes. A vile little creature.
Why did she stab you and your butler?
Because, Mr. Wilcox... Sorry, I'm in so much pain, but...
I can imagine.
It is my belief that Mr. Byrne, Miss Rose Byrne's husband...
Yes.
...was not... His death was not an accident.
Right.
And I do believe that Miss Plum had something to do with it. And I believe that the person behind it is Mabel.
Do you have any proof that it's Mabel?
Well, if you look at the saw which killed him, that have many strange markings upon it, and when I confronted Miss Plum about it, she was very... Well, as you can see, rather uncivilized. And she said that Mabel would not like that I had been asking too many questions. Also, you should speak with the foreman of the mill. He was paid a great sum of money to leave the door open that evening.
I see. Well, we will pick up Miss Plum right away, and we will have to go and look at the saw. Until then, you should get medical.
Yes, yes, of course, but please look at the saw and the man, speak to him right away before they try to get rid of the evidence.
Oh, okay. How long ago did you speak with them?
About 2 hours ago.
Well, I'll go over there right now. Go to the hospital, Miss Pinbottom.
Mrs. Thank
Pinbottom.
You.
Go to the hospital, Mrs. Pinbottom.
She is about propriety, after
yes,
all.
Yes, she really is. All right, so you go to the hospital, and your husband comes in not long after, and he takes your hand and looks at you, and...
Well, darling, I'm just so glad that you're all right. Well, when you hadn't come home, I was afraid that they had done something terrible to you. I know. You've fought in war. You're a rather tough old thing, aren't you? She just gives him a little smile and a wink.
Well...
Oh, dear, I'll talk about it when we're home.
her.
I can't stand being in this awful place. How is Godfrey? So he'll recover? Oh, good. I am actually worried about him. He did act valiantly. Maybe post someone at Godfrey's door. I am worried for his safety. Thank you, dear.
Okay. So, yeah, he'll post someone at the door. This is a good place to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much, Michelle. I hope everybody enjoyed this one-on-one game. All of these games are going on at the same time. And when everybody gets back together, it'll be interesting to see everything that kind of comes out of all of them. You can find us at 12, that's the number 12, Sided Stories on Twitter. You can also find me at Plate Mail Games on Twitter. You can get audio for your own games from us on DriveThruRPG. I will now pass it to Michelle so she can tell you where you can find her.
You can find me on Twitter on at Michulhu, M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. And yeah, that's the only social media I've got right now. One thing I'd like to mention is that 12 Sided Stories now has a Patreon page. Our goal is to be able to put out a weekly show, and with your support, we can make that happen. Just search 12 Sided Stories on Patreon to find us.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we will be posting more very soon. Goodbye.
Bye.